Zells, I'm on my knees for today's show. You guys caught some tuna. I've apparently got two penguins in Honiston. And the Stormers and the Bulls, they didn't catch anything. Heroic way to go out of the Investec Champions Cup. Kind of they may look back in a few weeks' time and say the best possible result when they saw what Toulouse did and then what Bordeaux did. Because you really can't look past those two French teams. They are the big quarterfinal this weekend. Incredible rugger from Bordeaux. It's obviously the influence of Heine Adams and Sean Saabye and Carl Sardi. And then on Toulouse, well, you got to think back to the ghosts of Cheslin Kolbe because there's no South African there. And then the only sapper in the once rich Toulon, David Rivens, player of the match. Did the Stormers play him into the Springbok squad?
Oh, mate, well, I mean, as you know, Eddie Cole has been telling us for some time that David Rubens is going to be a Springbok at the next World Cup, mate. And on the basis of that game, it's quite difficult to argue against it because he had an absolute blinder. Cracking game for Dave Rubens, who was, as far as I know, questionable to start in that match. And then just shot the lights out. Had an absolute stormer.
Yeah, an incredible performance from him. For those who don't know the story of Dave Rubens, Somerset College, born in Somerset West. He and JD Schickling, good mates. They played under 19s, under 21s together. They won everything with the province under 21 side. He made the Stormers in 2016, played a preseason friendly, never quite cracked the squad, played a Curry Cup rugby for Western Province, and then off he went to Northampton Saints. He was superb for them. He won an England call-up. He played 11 test matches. His last one was at the World Cup in 2023, then relocated to Toulon, where he's played 60-plus games. He's even captained the side on occasions. He's been an outstanding signing for them. But because England's selection policy is such that they don't allow any player who's not playing in the English Prem to be considered for national selection, he does qualify, and he's eligible to be picked for the Springboks at the end of this year. Now, is he in Rassie Rasmus' plans? We don't know. He said a year ago he doesn't know even if he got the opportunity if he would take it, because of his loyalty to England and what they gave him, because he qualified through ancestry. But that was 2025. He may look at that England side now, look at the box and say, you know what? 2027 in a Springbok jersey in Australia doesn't look too shabby. And he may pick up the phone to Jean Klein and say, how did you feel giving up that Irish jersey to play for the Springboks? And Jean Klein would say, I felt it was like a golden moment, like a gold medal moment. So Jean Klein went the same route, Stormers, Munster, Ireland, didn't play for 4 years, picked for the box, and he won it. Dave Rubens, give me just a few of your thoughts, impressions on him, the way he has played at Toulon, and noticeable differences in his game, be it from Northampton there, or, I mean, we know he's grown in 10 years from being a kid in Cape Town, but just the impact that he had.
Yeah, so just on your first point there, man, I mean, Tony Brown preemptively turned down going back to the All Blacks to be part of the Springbok team. I can't see Davey turning down a chance to go to the Springboks and potentially win a World Cup next year if the opportunity presents itself. And fortunately for him, the Boks are kind of counting on their fingers who's available to play lock at the moment. They've got a few things to think around in that specific position. And yeah, I mean, look, Dave Rubens has done incredible things at his time at Toulon. He's really gone up a level, I would say, not just as a player, but his leadership there, I think, is massive for Toulon. And then if you watch just on the basis of this weekend's game, I mean, every single carry he went forward, he was a problem at the line-out and just gets around the park for a guy his size, can carry, can tackle, and gets involved at a high rate, and then has a leadership quality to him as well. So, just incredible. I mean, and the pathway that you've mentioned to get where he's got, like he's overcome so many obstacles. The odds of a guy from Somerset College going all the way and ending up playing for England and being on the radar for the box and doing great things in Europe has got to be extremely slim.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his performance, and he was outstanding when he came off, it was 28, 20, 76 minutes. The drama that unfolded, you had come back from 6 hours at sea. Taryn Nell, your better half. An incredible catch, caught a big tuna. You guys saw dolphins. Mighty Mac got to see an incredible thing. You guys survived it. Rather you than me, but it looked magnificent. I was in paradise in Honiston. Ended up watching the game not drinking anything, basically waters, sitting very quietly. People thought there was something wrong watching that Stormers, watching the pub erupt in that last 3 minutes. Stormers, Stormers. And you can imagine the abuse that the referee got at the end and the TMO got. Just an incredible finish. And then a couple of hours later, another incredible finish. Jacques Reynaud, our good friend, the CEO of the EPCR, saying to me, 1 point, 1 point. Who would have thought it? We kept on saying in the week it was two games we felt could go South Africa's way, and there could be history. There could be a quarter final in the Investec Champions Cup for the first time in Cape Town this weekend. That's not going to be the case. But 28-27, 22-21, basically with the clock counted down in Scotstoun, Hurricane Dave, whatever you want to call him, had hit the whole of the UK. You just look at those results in terms of teams that played with a win in the first half. They didn't get 30 plus points. They were normally out of the game. But I think to contextualize also for South Africans, it was an incredible effort from both teams in terms of spirit, character, and defying the odds of a team traveling from South Africa to win both quarterfinals in the Investec Champions Cup. It's something that would never been done before, and to get that close, and we know it is to win by a point. We did it three times in a row in the playoffs in the 2023 World Cup, and to kind of lose by a point, agonizing, but there was a lot of pride to take from those two games.
No, absolutely. I mean, South African teams away for a playoff match in Europe, a week after being on URC duty. For me, there was massive credit to the quality of those performances, the guts shown. Both teams were in it right to the very end. And there was no lack of sort of commitment to the cause or resilience from those sides. And I thought technically they were good as well. I thought the Bulls' plan was on point and maybe just didn't get as far as they wanted to with it. But they were right there, and they showed that Glasgow's got a few holes that can be taken advantage of. And then the Stormers were excellent at Stade Mayol, I thought. And it just went down to right at the end in a decision on the goal line. I mean, it doesn't get any closer than that. And yeah, I thought it was fabulous. I thought both teams really acquitted themselves well and flew the flag. I mean, obviously we want them both to win and come home and play in a Cape Town quarterfinal, but that wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, and you just look at the Stormers' performance and the fact that you say they've always a team that plays to 82 minutes. That's the one thing, regardless of how frustrated we may get with the Stormers at times, high risk suicidal rugby that they do tend to play within their own half, and that's been the history since they won the first URC. It's in their DNA. But this team never gives up. There's no white flag hoisted, and at 28-20, most would have said game's gone. I text you to say I think that's it when they did score. And then a guy, Sasha Fineberg and Ngoma Zulu, the little grubber through to set up the try that Warrie Kalang caught and then kind of took the tackle from the recycle they scored. And then just out and out pace on his own 10-meter line, needing to score. The Bishops 1-2, him to Emi Khan under the post, he converted. You know what irks me the most is there are a lot of people at the hotel watching, and the moment they switched to him to come on, there was this, oh, why are they taking off Yuri Matia? And as Dobber says, this kid is a national treasure. In two moments, he basically was worth 14 points. And he was outstanding in everything he did. His aggression, his attitude. I mean, we should marvel at him. If he was a Kiwi or a Frenchman or a Pom, we'd be saying, wow, why don't we have a kid like that? You know, I thought we saw something special with him, and then we saw something solid and just world-class with Andre Pollard a couple of hours later. And we know Marnie's doing his thing out in Japan. And you think, well, we're in good hands when it comes to tens and generals in the Springbok setup, given what each one actually offers. And I really, this kind of dislike and this jealousy and this envy towards Sasha really needs to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I can only say it so many times, mate. For me, like Sasha is the most well-rounded 10 to come out of this country ever. And I say that knowing that that's high praise. I mean, we've produced some amazing fly-offs in the history of this country, but nobody comes close, in my opinion, to Sasha for his ability to make elite-level contributions in every facet of the game. I mean, and the kid's 24. I mean, I think people just need to take a deep breath and take a step back and have a look at what this guy has already shown. His body of work already at the Test Arena. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean it always comes off. Doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement. And he'd be the first guy to tell you that. But the way he just unlocked that game himself, in a moment of brilliance, that's what he does. And that doesn't come at the expense. He's not a guy who tackles at 55%, can't find touch, can't hit grass, can't kick to poles. He does all that other stuff well. So I think he's an absolutely fabulous player. To me, it's beyond disappointing. I think it's hilarious that people cannot see the quality of that guy. And again, that doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement, but he is a youngster and he is growing. And I'm very, very excited to see where he goes because there's some great things on the horizon.
Well, I see behind you. I'm sure it's Max drawings, but it looks like a little heart. So a little heart from us. How do they do that heart like that, eh? To Sasha. Just keep on playing, bud, because you're special, special talent. And thank goodness he's ours and not someone else's. And selfishly, thank
Exactly.
goodness he's from Cape Town and he's kind of playing for the Stormers. And we're not raving about him playing for Toulouse or Bordeaux. I mean, if that oak was French and playing for one of those teams, we would just be
We,
struck because
mate,
it
you, I
wouldn't.
mean, you were there for 2 decades. We were saying, why don't we produce guys like this? Now we do.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy can do anything when he has to do everything. I heard people say to me, you should have taken the 65-meter penalty. You should have taken the drop goal. And then everyone said, what a selfish bug if he had missed. They'll look back
Exactly.
at the game, as Nick Mallett said, better decision-making in that last minute. No white line fever. Potentially play the extra man in the backs with Manano yellow carded. Potentially kind of done something else. Sasha dropping back into the pocket. Hindsight is a science, and it's you never get it wrong in hindsight. But there will be great lessons that they would have learned from that. But for me, the overriding thing was we belong in the Investec Champions Cup, and playoffs, home playoffs are everything. That game gets played in Cape Town, the Stormers win. Glasgow get played at Loftus, a good chance the Bulls win, and then they're through to the semi-final. So under trying conditions. We stood up, stood tall, and showed our club rugby is as strong as a representation as our national setup. And, I love Nick Mallett's analysis in the SuperSport, him and Brady. Nick's there. I don't go and get a drink at halftime. You actually tune in and you listen, and he's fair and he's objective. And he said, great courage, great guts, great character from the Stormers, great character, stuck to the game plan from the Bulls. Poor decision making in playoff rugby. Big moments let them down. He spoke about different options that could have happened in the last minute. Too passive initially in the first half on defense. They could have played that the crowd quiet again. Everything we've been speaking about all season, be it the URC, be it the Investec Champions Cup, the EPCR Challenge Cup, we score and the next moment we let them score. So our exits have been something that's under like serious scrutiny, and both the Stormers and the Bulls will look back on those matches and say, when you work so hard to get a try, you don't just give it back straight away.
No, 100%. And I think that's some of the technical stuff that needs to be ironed out as we get to the sharp end of the season. But again, I just thought both of those teams, I mean, only one team won on the road this week. That was Sale. They beat Harlequins. And, you just look at how difficult it is to win in Europe, especially in a playoff game away from home. Everybody found that to be the case, bar Sale. And I thought coming within 1 point for the Stormers and a couple of points for the Bulls, that was a great effort.
Yeah, and then you talk about that about the Sale game, and they really had to fight off Harlequin's comeback in the second half. And Investec Champions Cup, it started with a thriller, 49-41, Northampton against Castres. And again, a French side that you normally don't expect to do well on the road, but they threw everything at it. It was a, as Tanu Umaga would say, it's great rugger when 90 points are scored in the Northern Hemisphere, but when it happens in Super Rugby, it's basketball, mate. It's
Fair
tiddlywinks.
point, Zach. Yeah.
It
Fair point, mate.
was
Yeah.
a great start to the weekend in terms of the neutral who wanted to see it. And then, I mean, we look at the Stormers and individually, again, just great to see a Zach Porthen in the mix of the experience he would have got out of that game.
Yeah.
Nicholas, that Stormers scrum was so dominant. I mean, Toulon is the third best scrum in the top 14, and the French are renowned for their set piece. And we talk about 9 from 20 for Toulon, 11th on the table. Bordeaux are 12 from 20. So you don't win more than 60% of your games ordinarily if you're 2 to 14 in the top 14. Stade Mihiel it is a different place to play. But they will look back and go, that was one that they could have won, should have won. But then also, Glasgow a week later, going from 19 degrees to potentially 5 degrees in the rain, in the wind, and then having to come back and play Connacht as well. So There may be some form of blessing in the disappointment of bowing out from a competition that both John Dobson as coach of the Stormers and Johan Ackermann as coach of the Bulls gave it their all. They picked their best 23 to go there, use their 23 in a way they felt was best to win the game. In terms of some players you think would have started were on the bench, and we're a point off it basically on 80 minutes in both games, and that's the fine margins. And I just have, again, just such awe for the effort that they put in. And then the jeopardy. Jacques Reno always says to us, it's jeopardy. It's jeopardy. 15th place, snuck in, one win from four for the Bulls. They play against a Glasgow team that destroyed everyone, including Toulouse, where they came from 21-0 down and won 26-21. That win factor, we call it, Scotstown. And to be 22-21 going into the final minute, it just shows you how difficult it is to win this competition, because you can be the form team in December and the first fortnight of January, and come April, you could be nowhere because of injuries, form, poor run in your domestic competitions. And that's going to be the same again after this weekend's quarterfinals. There's a month before they play the semi-final. A lot can change. But if you look, and we'll get to the just now, but if you look at the other teams, what did you make of the playoffs? I mean, for my side, if you just love rugby and you love tries, there were plenty. But the French teams, they just scream championship title winners at the moment.
No, mate, I think this round of 16 just showed how difficult it is, obviously, to win away from home. And I think for the South African teams, to be able to progress and really challenge for the title in this comp, you've got to dominate the league phase of the comp, the pool stage, so that you're hosting these playoff games and not traveling for them. I think that is obvious. I mean, it's not rocket science, but I think that is really the key. I think as soon as you have to travel for a playoff game, your opportunity, your probability of success really goes through the floor. The results over the weekend showed it, and I think as hard as it was in the round of 16, that magnifies getting to the quarterfinal and then just goes up a level to Final Four. And obviously the playoffs are at a neutral venue, and that throws a whole new sort of variable into the mix. So to your point about it being a blessing for the Stormers and the Bulls, in a way, I think it will be for the URC sort of campaigns. Obviously, it gives them a little bit of an opportunity to catch their breath, sort of recalibrate, refocus. And just get ready to finish the league phase in a strong position. But the lesson there is to win the Investec Champions Cup, you've got to do well in the pool stage and host it. And that's exactly what these French teams have done. And the fact that Toulouse are not hosting a quarterfinal, which is, their poor seeding in the pool stage, is exactly why they've got to go up against juggernauts, favourites, number one seeds in the Investec Champions Cup, Bordeaux. That is going to be a cracking game. Arguably two of the best teams in the Investec Champions Cup. Only one of them can advance to the semi-finals. And I mean, those teams have already shown their class. Glasgow seeded two, but Bordeaux put 64 points on Leicester. You just look at the quality of those teams. Leinster obviously still in the mix. They had a good finish there against Edinburgh after a bit of a shaky start. And then Toulouse, almost 60 points on Bristol. You just look at it. Those French teams really do know how to play Investec Champions Cup rugby.
Yeah, you look at again at the seed, and I think when the Bulls will be just wow, they got there somehow. One win out of four, that win at Pau, that got them through 15th place. And then the Stormers, they have to look back at their season and say, had we taken a side to knock over a very vulnerable Harlequins, we would have been four from four, and they would have been that home last 16. But the reality of this competition is, as much as I love the Storms, the Bulls, I just can't see at the moment with the current squad depth any of those two teams going either to a Toulouse or Bordeaux and winning a semi-final, or going to the north of Spain in the last week of May and winning a final against the quality of what we saw. You take how the Stormers battled to beat a Leicester side that wasn't as strong as the one they sent into the last 16, and my goodness, what Bordeaux did to them. What Toulouse did to Bristol, a Bristol side that put 60 points past the Bulls in Pretoria. You just got to take your hat off and say, the Springboks, yes, one in the world, international rugby. But you look at Bordeaux and Toulouse for me, primarily, probably the two best club sides in the world. And I include anything from Super Rugby.
Agreed.
So when I just look at the squad component, and both those sides, let's also put into context for the South African consumer who may not be that well versed with Investec Champions Cup, it's not just French players. They have so many other players from other countries that just make them a Barbarians 15 or a Barbarians 23, an International 23. But just also a pleasure to watch and a joy to watch. And if there's one team that can go to Bordeaux this weekend, it is six-time champions Toulouse with Antoine Dupont firing three try assists this last weekend. They're the only team I would say that can go there and win. So many would say the final of the Investec Champions Cup is being played this weekend in Bordeaux. And then in England, Bath, Johan van Graan's Bath hosting Northampton Saints, also a crack and probably worthy of a final as well. For me, you'd have to fancy Glasgow at home against Toulon. And Leinster at home is going to be very hard to beat. Ernst van Rijn, another South African, four South Africans in that Sales Shark side. There used to be about 14, there's now four. So just incredible. I mean, I love that competition, the Jeopardy, it's knockout, it really is tough. And I think by the time the guys go back to top 14 Prem and URC, there is a slight sigh of relief that they've just got the one to focus on.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, man. And it's, your point about the depth, I think, is spot on there. I mean, I do think that if you compare where South African teams were a year ago or two seasons ago to where we are now in terms of the depth, I think there has been a significant improvement in growing the squads. I think we are much better tooled up to be able to fight on more than one front than maybe we were. But it is a work in progress, and it is something that takes time to develop. But I really do believe that the Bulls and the Stormers are getting much closer, and obviously the Sharks with their Galacticos are getting much closer to a position where they can actually have a squad that they designate particularly for duty in the European Cup competition, and then sort of their mainstays for the URC and kind of work a rotation around that. So I think we're getting closer, but we're not there yet. And so now we have to watch the quarterfinal, semis, and final. Rooting, obviously, for Bath with Thomas the Tank still in the mix. You mentioned Sale with what's left of their South African contingent. That is the South African interest there. So go, boys.
Well, we look, there's 12 South African players and four coaches. So it's Johan van Graan, coach of Bath, Jacques Nienaber, coach of Leinster. He's never the coach when they lose. When they win, he's always the coach when they lose. But you got to say, they won the URC for the first time in four attempts. He's the head coach, and they threw to the quarterfinals and they're hosting at home. So for all the horror stories coming out of Dublin that he's destroyed them, he hasn't destroyed them that much. They're there, and they're certainly there with a shout with the internationals coming back. And they've even got that All Black, Rico Ioane, looking half decent again. Thought he had a great game playing it outside centre. And when he did find himself on the wing, he showed us the try-scoring finish of the Rico Ioane that we know from the All Blacks. So they're in a good place. And then you've got Sowerby and Heinie Adams at Bordeaux. I don't know if Jean-Luc Dupree will be in the mix this weekend, but Carl Sardy was there, and he's certainly justifying his call-up to Rassie's national BOC national alignment camp. Tight head prop there. Ben, Big Ben, Tommy Fuller, just one of the great tries of the weekend. Oh, if you can't, go onto the EPCR homepage, the YouTube channel, and go watch the great tries that were scored this week in Investec Champions Cup. He's one of my favorites. But if we look at great moments, obviously our wonderful partner and sponsor Steco, the hybrid Steco power tool, play of the moment, player of the week, our hero. You know, internationally, I look at Louis Bilbery. I mean, that guy is just the best winner in the world at the moment. In the week that he was voted Six Nations Player of the Year for the second successive year, Kurt Lie-Aronson is magnificent. Cheslin Kolbe is a double World Cup winner. He's magnificent. There's some great winners. But if you look just on form at the moment, there is no one who has a Midas touch quite like Louis Bilbery. He's not my moment, by the way, because I'm going to go local. But again, that try that he scored, wow. Freddie Stewart
Incredible, man.
was catching ghosts, chasing shadows. And then when he looked up a few minutes later, Big Ben was running over him. So, I mean, he had a my cat kind of afternoon. He must have enjoyed the wine that night because he didn't enjoy the rugger, Freddie Stewart. He's 6'4", 110 kilos.
No, Louis Bialbieri, mate. Just the burst on that guy. He sort of flashes on tape. You watch him and you think this guy is on another level to everybody else in the field. The way that he explodes, It's something reminiscent of the agility of Cheslin. When you watch it, you're like, wow, it flashes. You're like, this is on another level. And Bielbieri's burst, the way that he gets away, his acceleration is just ludicrous, mate. And then just also the conviction that he runs with. He's not reacting when it's time to be evasive. He's very much proactive and on the front foot. So he bursts away, stiff arms a defender like he's not even there, and then he just punches the gas to hit that old school swerve on the last defender around him for an absolutely superb try. I thought it was brilliant. Also, not my try of the weekend. I would have gone with Tom Ifuna, mate. It's not often the big fella gets involved like that. A bit of an offload, runs over a back, and then powers away for a try. But locally, I do have one in mind. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same as yours.
But before we get there, we got to hear from the man himself, Andre the Giant, the ultimate international hybrid player who partnered with Steco Ryobi, Ryobi Steco. We're going to hear C, Andre the Giant, and then we're going to tell you who our pick is for the weekend.
Some players choose a side. They've always said a back can never be a forward. But with Steco, Ryobi didn't just reinvent the rules. It changed the entire game. Hybrid tools for a hybrid craftsman. Steco, shaping the future. 40 years of Ryobi credibility.
All right, you give me yours and I'll give you mine, and then we gotta make a choice.
Mate, I thought the one that Sasha created, Imikar, the Bishop's duo, mate, under the sticks, just the way that they cut the game open like that. It was so tight, weren't making meters anywhere, and then he just pulled off something incredible. For me, that was the moment, but very happy to defer to you. What was your option, mate?
Look, mate, I knew you were going to go with that, and I was going to go with that, but people are going to say, you guys live in Cape Town. You support the Stormers. They've got the nicer jersey. They got the nicest team, the nicest stadium, the nicest weather. Zells was on a boat catching tuna. You were in Arniston Paradise at the Arniston Hotel. And why are you always going Stormers? So I looked at another game, and I looked at Johan Groblaar's try for the Bulls. The
oh,
day
mate. Great
offload. Johan Groblaar on the win in those incredibly tough conditions, sliding in and scoring. And then I went to the EPCR homepage 24 hours later and I looked at his match stats. He played 80 minutes with
25 tackles.
25 tackles, four dominant tackles. How many offloads? 81 minutes he played for, start to finish. Marco van Staden came on angry. I don't think he knew if he was a flank, a hooker, playing for the Bulls or the box, or if he was a UFC fighter, but he was in the thick of things. And as much as I want to give it to the Bishops 1-2, I just want to give it to Krobies and show that I'm not biased and I do watch rugby independently. But it's up to you, Fire. It's up to you.
No, mate, I like that. I think that's a great shot. Let's go with Krobies. I know him and Marco van Staden, those kilts drive them crazy, mate. Brings out the best in them. They had a great game. Krobies, spectacular try and a great effort for the Bulls in that match.
And I believe it's that 48 hours in build-up to match where they can ham free in those kilts. And they can really loosen up. That gets them going. But an incredible performance from Krobies, who we know Malcolm Marks, without comparison, is one in the box and one in the world, with Dan Sheehan probably pushing him a little bit, and Fekitao, is that right, from France. And then you've got to look batting South Africa. Krobies is certainly entrenched himself as number two. Probably Andre Jugerventer behind him as number three at the moment. But geez, he was good. And he is, thanks to Zells, he is our Ryobi Steco Power Tool Hero of the Week. All right, Zells, something tells me I may have botched the French flyer from New Caledonian, that hooker. I may have botched his surname.
Fucking time, it's close, mate. It's actually Pierre Tamavaka. He's the hooker for France, mate. But, potato, potato. I know you made your best attempt there, mate.
Miavaka Fakatawa. I mean, all sounds like a very potent rugby player if you combine them. Imagine if you did. Hey, if you did, you would have had a very, very good bloke with dual nationality. You can play for France and New Zealand and Probably Samoa Tonga as well.
Mate, if we could get a Tana Collins, it'd be game over for the Springboks.
All right, mate. If we could get something that they are offering, and as we said last week, Burger King have come on board with us, and it's wonderful to have them as a partner of Kia and Zell's. And they obviously did surprise us as well. They dropped something new, their crispy, juicy fried chicken. We didn't expect it. I don't think anyone expected it, but I'm sure it's making a lot of cash. And for our viewers and listeners, Burger King is giving you $30 off a King Box meal. That's a burger, chicken on the bone, fries, and a drink. And all you have to do is go in store, scan the QR code, and you're sorted. It's only for the first 100. And we know how many come onto the show, watch, and enjoy. For those offshore, I'm sorry, they don't do the delivery. You've got to be in South Africa for that one. So it's a deal. Don't miss out. The first 100 viewers only, thanks to Burger King, an official partner of Keo and Zell's. And their catch slogan, and you say it much better than I do because of your Portuguese heritage.
Yo, I
Looking at
never
this,
spelled it.
I'm happy because I never spelled it.
I never spelled yo, not this weekend, schools. I never spelled Grey College to lose for a second time in succession for the first time since 2017. And what's more, mate? I never thought it would be St. Joseph's Nudgee from Brisbane who does them. And to do them with a drop goal in the last minute, I thought Australian guys don't kick drop goals. Only Stevie
Very
Larkham.
un-Australian, mate. What's going on over there, Nudgee, mate?
Only Stevie Larkham kicks them. So Grey
Yeah.
College couldn't believe it. They had lost to Stellenberg. They won a game. So they've lost three out of their last four. They then lost to Nudgee. And wow, incredible result. And then Hilton from KZN, they restored law and order in South Africa and they beat Nudgee 17-12. But some
That's
great
right.
results from all the festivals. You've got a personal favorite?
Oh, mate, Westville putting the heat on Milton there. 41-3, mate. So the local boys only managed 3 points against Westville. They were our rivals back at Panzo Boys High back in the day, mate. I'm not sure that rivalry still exists, but hell of a result for them. And those KZN schools seem to be doing quite well, mate.
Now, Kersey were outstanding. Michael House got some big wins. Maritzburg College,
Maritzburg College?
they fought bravely to beat Sachs 24-7. Sachs were done wonderfully well, I thought, to go 35-34 against Pretoria Boys High in the 125th anniversary. And then I saw Rondebosch 43, Pretoria Boys High 20 in the final game there. And I thought, oh, those games home and away have still to come for Sachs this season. So hopefully it gets a bit better for them. Some great festivals. St. John's, Cairns, obviously Pretoria Boys, Kearsney. Have I missed anyone there? I don't think I've
Yeah,
missed it.
Michael asked, Pepe was a shootout, mate. Almost 80 points in that one. Defense optional.
Defense optional, a bit like Investec Champions Cup Rugby and Super Rugby, mate. And
Exactly.
if you look at
Yeah.
Super Rugby, mate, if you look at Super Rugby, so those are great festivals. We've got a big game this weekend. It's Uffies against Paul Chem, and obviously Jeppy up against Cairns up in Gauteng. That is the massive one. If you want to know all the festival results, there's a great piece put together on kio.co.za, also on SA Rugby Magazine, the digital component. Go to Rugby365 and obviously saschoolboy.co.za, and you can get all the highlights on the Super Sport Schools page. I mean, the schoolboy coverage of rugby and other sports in this country just unrivaled. But we talk a bit about Super Rugby, mate. There were a couple of games. They seven matches in. Dave Rennie sitting in Japan. Shannon Frizzell has announced he's coming back. He's coming back at the end of. He's coming back with
Game
Muhanga. So
on.
they've already got Muhanga back. They've already getting Shannon Frizzell back. We know Brodie Retallick is going to be picked somehow. Aaron Smith
Yeah.
may be in the mix. All of a sudden, it's a different All Black setup.
I can't wait, mate. I'm so looking forward to it. That's what's been missing all this time, mate. We've been playing these blokes north of the equator. That's not who we need to see week in and week out. It's these guys from the land of the long white cloud, mate. Those are our rivals, and I'm looking forward to them getting back to their best, mate, to bring the best out of us. And I think Dave Rennie's the guy to do the job, and he's clearly getting his chess pieces back on the board. Exciting times.
It is, and I've been watching the breakdown with much enjoyment while I've been doing my walks here in Arniston, And so I don't have to see the faces, but I listen to the voices. Justin Marshall, he's picked his form team. I don't think there's any All Blacks left from last year. So I don't think that's going to happen. But they've got this love affair with Ruben Love at the moment that they want to play him at 10. The reality is when Muhanga comes back, he will be the 10. Ruben Love, I think, could be a great player. 15, even on the wing, and 10 off the bench. He says 10 is his favorite position. But certainly since they announced Dave Rennie, there does seem to have been an intensity shift in New Zealand Super Rugby teams. The league is looking rather familiar now. Three New Zealand teams up there with the Brumbies hanging on. And you've got lots of wins and losses. You know, Hurricanes are cleaning up at the top. At the rest, it's 4 wins, 3 defeats. 5 wins, 2 defeats. 4 wins, 3 defeats. Cody Taylor got 4 tries. Last ever game at the old stadium in Christchurch before they go to their new stadium. So watching that, and obviously watching Australia, I got it wrong a couple of episodes ago when I said, who cares about Australia? We're not playing them. We are playing them, an afterthought. We played them in September after 4 tests against the All Blacks. We played them in Perth. There will be a slippery one, that given the mental drop that there has to be post playing the greatest rivals over 4 tests, 3 in South Africa, and obviously 1 in Baltimore, the United States of America. And we also do play the Pumas. We play them in Buenos Aires before we take on the mighty, mighty All Blacks. What do you make of the talk in New Zealand? A love affair with Neil Barnes, 67-year-old. It's like they just discovered him, although he's been there forever. And what is Roel Razor thinking? It's all happening, mate, now that they sent me out to serve.
Well, I think Razor is definitely going to feel a bit jaded, mate. You know, the fact that he couldn't pick some of these guys that will be coming back now, I think, is going to sting a bit. But I do think that is the way forward. I think New Zealand have been, you know, a nation that historically are sort of leaders and progressive when it comes to rugby thinking. They've been left in the dirt a little bit here by South Africa, left in the dust. They've been slow to come round to the realities of the pool of club rugby in the world and what their impact is, especially on a nation so far from the major time zones of rugby like New Zealand. So I think he'll be a bit stung. For me, mate, Ruben Love, and I could be completely wrong here, but I feel like he's more Colin Slade than Dan Carter. I think where the answers are for the All Blacks is in Rennie uncovering and discovering some heavyweights up front, and then specifically at inside centre, mate, just bring some punch back to this team. And I don't think the All Blacks have lost any of their flair or evasiveness, agility, skills, none of that stuff. I just think they are lacking in the momentum department. When they get some of those heavies back, when the Bruisers return to the fold, I think you're going to see the All Blacks kick back into gear.
Yeah, but the one thing you talk about, the heavies, and they've got to get that pack right. They keep on going back to the same kind of midfield options where they've had huge problems. So individually, they've got some great players. I mean, Jordy Barrett, we know, is an outstanding rugby player. They're talking about him as being captain. He could pick himself, but where do you actually play him? So their biggest blessing could be their biggest curse as well. And they need to find a midfield that kind of is physical, is strong, and basically gets that go-forward ball off Muhanga, who can play flat. But lots of options that they've got there. I think the big thing there is the selections more than anything else. Rennie says he feels he's got the players who can choose. Does he choose them? I think that's the exciting part about this season. We know what Joe Smith's done. Les Kiss, it's been wonderful for Les. But now, as he's coming into the Australian job, he's lost 3 games and he's taken nearly 100 points in his last 2. So international rugby, a very different kettle of fish. Mates, it's exciting times. You do get a week off, though, because the Stormers aren't in the Investec Champions Cup. The people are knocking at my door. I'm at the Arniston Hotel. They want to come clean my room. It's been a great, great stay. It's back to reality in the next 48 hours. It's been wonderful chatting to you, Zelzy.
Great, buddy.
HBC. For those, log on, try and win 100,000 Rand, end of June. They're unrelenting. They're knocking at my door. I got to go. Goodbye.